Hey gang, congratulations to our sponsor Strange Brew Loungeside for winning 2014-2015 Austin Music Poll for Best Club Sound, Best Club to Play, and Best Live Music Venue. That's right, Best Live Music Venue. Congratulations to Scott, Casey, Carlos, Kate, and Catherine, and everyone over at Strange Brew Loungeside. If you want to find out what's happening at the best live music venue in the live music capital of the world, go to strangebrewloungeside.com and see what for yourself what Austin's best venue has to offer. That's Strange Brew Loungeside. Now, let's get down.
And you may ask yourself,
how did I get here? And now here is your host, Tommy Naughty.
All right. Hello. I'm Johnny. I'm your host. Welcome to the show. Man, it is a beautiful day here in Austin where I'm doing this podcast intro. It's nice and cool. I've got the windows open. What a great day. I've got a great show for you guys today. I have Amy Edwards. She's an artist here in Austin. You can find out all about her at amyedwardsmusic.com. She is very interesting. I did a show with her a little over a month ago, and that's where I met her. And she's got a great record out. It's her second record. She did an EP called Ghosts and Saints, but she has a new album out called Forward, which is fantastic. She gave me a vinyl copy of it. She just started playing a few years ago, and she just started writing songs. It's hard to believe because she's really, really good, man. And she seems like someone that's one of those people that can do things really well. She was a DJ at the Fringe for a while, that 105.3 here in Austin, and yeah, she does a lot of different stuff. She's an interesting person. She's a mom. She's a wife. She's a rocker. She's a DJ. She's an interesting cat. Amy Edwards. So stick around for that. That is coming up in just a minute. It is a great conversation. Before we get to it, let me tell you what's going on with me. So, you know, last week I was supposed to play on Friday. Show got canceled because of the rain. But Thursday night, I went out and saw the Blue Bonnets open for the Water Boys at the Paramount here in Austin. Ran into Miles Zuniga from Fastball. We ended up hanging out, having a great night. I ended up getting to meet Mike Scott. I will post a photo of the three of us on the How Did I Get Here page. You will like it. I think you will like it. I hope you'll like it. Anyway, that happened. I had a great time at the show. The Blue Bonnets were fantastic. Sadly, the next day, our show got rained out. So, you know, when it rains, I had the night off. I just stayed in. Yeah, stayed in and chilled out. The next day, I was record store day. Went out with AJ Vallejo, and we bought a lot of records. I got Sammy Hagar, 3 Lockbox. I got a David and David Welcome to the Boomtown special 12-inch with interviews and shit on it, which is super rare for $2.99. Antone's Records, fantastic, right? Also got the Dixie Cups, a great reissue of their album Going to the Chapel. You know that song; it's great. Got some other stuff too. You can check out the photos on the How Did I Get Here Facebook page. I know we got a lot of new listeners. I want to let you guys know that you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. You can favorite it on Stitcher if you listen to your podcast that way. And you can always go to the How Did I Get Here Podbean page and scroll through the 370-something episodes that are on there and find other ones that maybe, you know, maybe you don't know if you're new to the show. You can like our Facebook page and know what's going on, find out what's coming up. Anyway, so yeah, did Record Store Day Saturday with AJ. We had a great time. Went to Waterloo, went to Antone's, and went to End of an Ear. Bought a lot of records. Then Saturday night, I went on a triple date. That's right. Seeing someone, it's a special thing. Went out with some friends. We had dinner, and then this giant hailstorm came. And we all went inside and decided we were going to go see these bands that were reuniting from the 90s here in Austin. Ran down to the 1-to-1 bar and saw a little bit of that. That was interesting. It was weird. Saw a lot of people that I haven't seen in a long time. Those bands actually sounded great. They really had their shit together. I don't know who all's still kind of playing out of that. I didn't get to talk to anyone in the bands, really. I just kind of saw them play, and they were good. Anyway, that was my weekend. It was crazy. And shooting another cooking show tonight with AJ. Our guest is Ray Prim, so look for that soon. I'll post it on the How Did I Get Here Facebook page. Things are going good. Let's see, Skyrocket's playing Saturday at the Continental Club. And also, hey, if you guys are fans of the band East Cameron Folklore, they were just on the cover of the Chronicle. I've got Jesse from that band on the show on Friday. Intense conversation, intense dude, intense band. They have an intense record. It's called Kingdom of Fear. It just came out. I suggest you listen to the record. Go out there and find it. I know it's on Spotify. If you want to buy it, you can do that. You know, that's always the preferred thing. Also, you know, you can buy Amy Edwards' record. If you go to amyedwardsmusic.com, she's also on Spotify. But you can also get this vinyl if you go to amyedwardsmusic.com. Or if you live in Austin, I'm sure if you go to the Waterloo, they probably have it there. Unless it's sold out over Record Store Day. All right? Everyone get out there and support your local record stores. That's what I learned during Record Store Day. I was like, man, it was nice to see all these people out. All these people out throwing down some cash in a local place. Buying records, buying local records, buying the special records that were released. But let's try and keep that up. On weekends, every once in a while, maybe once a month, hit your local record store. See what's come out that month. Pick one thing up, right? Get out there, get involved. All right, let's talk to Amy Edwards. She's a great artist, very new to doing this, but a natural, apparently, right? She's got it together. Her album, Forward, is out. As I said, it is on vinyl. And if you want to get to my heart, send me some vinyl. I love listening to records on my record player. I really do. All right, so let's talk to Amy Edwards. Let's get down.
For a Chanel backpack, she says I need this and she knows I want that. Celine slip-ons and Eugenia Kim has. Givenchy and Gareth O'Gwynn would rock this. Say no more, honey, ring it up, miss. A living canvas stands before you with something to prove.
Miami, she was thinking about moving here.
I love Miami.
You do?
Mm-hmm. One of my favorite cities.
I don't know anybody that says that.
Really?
Doesn't live there yet.
You don't like it?
No.
I love it. It's so. I love the architecture and the vibe.
I love that stuff.
Yeah.
It's a weird town. But anyway, real quick, came here because she was thinking about moving here, and she came here to look for jobs, and she stayed with me. And on the third day of staying here, I said, hey, you want to go grab some lunch? And she said, yeah, but if you take me to get another fucking taco here. Now you realize we really eat a lot of tacos when you live here. You don't think about it.
No, you eat a lot of tacos.
You eat a lot of tacos. When someone comes in from out of town, they're always like, God, dude, you, like, how many tacos do you eat? I don't even think about it.
It's just my go-to.
It's everyone's
go-to.
When
I'm hungry, yeah.
Yeah.
And, I went to Oklahoma City the other day, and I had to film something, and they brought in tacos. And I was like,
oh, yeah.
And they're like, do you like tacos? I was like, dude, have you not been to Austin? Yes, can't live there unless you like tacos.
Yeah.
And they were like bragging about their tacos. They were all right.
No.
Mm-mm.
No. What, you were shooting a commercial?
Yes.
What?
I'm trying
you sound
to
so...
act.
You, okay, this is why I found I wanted you to come on.
Why?
I didn't know you.
Mm-hmm.
And so I saw I was playing a show with you, and then somebody from C3 was like, hey, you have to include the other bands on there. And I didn't know that AJ and Kendall, like, all those, like, I was like, I don't know any of these people. Why do I have to promote their shows? So,
thanks.
Hey, sometimes you're like, okay, I'll put them in the thing. So I was like, well, let me see what this is all about. And then I went to your website, and then I started reading all the stuff in the media page and kind of reading these interviews with you. And I was like, wow, what an interesting person.
Thank you.
Like, you've really, you started playing when you were 38?
Yeah. It's not even been 5 years.
That's so weird.
And I'm not that good, but when I jumped in and started, I'm not. And that's okay with me. I own that.
There's, especially in those recordings, you can get a message across like a real pro. You know what I mean?
Thank you.
Yeah, like there's an attitude and a thing that you do when you sing a character that's there that, I don't think people can really do until they're developed. And did you always sing, like, in your house?
Well, yeah, like around the house, in my car.
Because you're a good singer. You don't sing like a mom. You know what I mean?
What does a mom sing like?
You know what I mean? I hate to say this. My mom was a talented artist, but she was a mom singer.
She was.
And when she sang, she sounded like my mom. She didn't sound like if Chrissy Hynde was your mom.
Right.
Or if you were your mom.
Oh, well, I love rock and roll always. And so, I mean, I'm down with singing like that. Like, that's what I listen to, and that's where my heart is. So maybe that's why.
And so now you're going to try acting?
Yeah, well, I started a couple years ago. A friend of ours, Will Wallace, who went to college with my husband, he had an acting group here, and he asked us to come by. And so I was like, well, I'm going to participate if we're going by. So I participated in the class, and I really liked it.
What was it? What was the class? Was it like an improv or something?
It was like, improv.
Can I tell you something just real fast?
Yeah.
Off the record? It doesn't matter what day of the week or what time of day I do this podcast, the yard people come.
That's right.
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
Really? Do they come all the time and you just don't notice it until you're in here?
Yeah, it's true.
I don't know, maybe.
Yeah. Okay, so you went and you took this class. Was it like an improv thing? Or?
That is how I roll. When things come my way, I just sort of go, all right, life is giving me this for a reason, so I'm just going to go and do it. I don't really give things a lot of thought necessarily, which is probably good and bad, but I just jump in and I go, okay, I'm going to do it. And I just tried acting, and it was cold reads, scene work.
Oh, yeah, I'm terrible at that.
I love it. And I really enjoy it. And I'm pretty good at it, just jumping in and doing it. So I just did it. And I was like, I'm in. I love this. So I started studying. But then I was doing the music thing at the same time. And I just didn't have time to get an agent and really get serious about it. And I wanted to do it when I really could get serious. So I just got an agent in December. And I'm just going to see what happens.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's interesting because I don't know if you found this, because when you do go into it and you go into it maybe like I did or like you did, like, oh, this is a thing, you can get this job. And, you know, I was married to a lady that was, before we got married, that helped a lot. before we got married and when we first got married was an actor. Uh-huh. Or was trying to pursue it, and we went to dinner one night with her agent, and he was like, oh, you know, you should do something, and then I was like, I don't like when people tell me what to do, and I don't want to sit around waiting for stuff, and I don't want to go to auditions, and he was like, okay, I can still get you stuff, and I was like, really? And so basically, like,
right outside the window.
Yeah. It's usually at the part where someone's like, and then my mom died. So he was like, I can get you this thing. So basically, he would send me on auditions that, like, when I walked in, people would be like, oh, yeah, perfect. Like, I didn't even have to do anything.
Wow.
So then when I really had to audition for stuff, I was so bad. And also, I feel weird. Like, those, when you go there and it's like a whole room of people and they're all like.
Yeah, it's weird.
They're fucking serious about
it,
man. And you realize how not serious you are.
I know.
And you feel kind of weird and, like, mean.
Yeah. And I don't think those kind of things are for me. Like, I'm with you on
what
you're
saying.
I know exactly what you're saying. And I really had, like, an epiphany recently because I went on a few of these auditions and I kind of learned that. And I was like, okay, I'm getting a feel for what's totally wrong for me. And I just kind of have to be me and just show up and be like, you know, whatever. Yeah. So either they want you or they don't. So.
Yeah.
Like, when you walk in, they're like, yeah, you.
You know, what I've heard in interviews with actors and stuff is, like, you know when you walk in that you got it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, or that's when the decision is made.
Right.
So, yeah, mm-hmm. I don't know. Okay, so you are a mother of two.
I am. I have two little girls, 5 and 9.
Do they like your music?
They love it.
They do?
They're my biggest fans. Yes. They can sing every song.
That's cool.
I know. It's pretty cool. Yeah. Sometimes they seem like they don't care, but overall, they're so excited about everything that I do, and they're dying to come to a show. Why can't we go? I'm like, sorry, it's adults. And that was a big goal for me in this album, because I did an EP last January, but I wasn't, like, super honest in it, and I was a little still didn't have the confidence that I needed. And then I went back to Dwight Baker, and I was like, I gotta really do this. So
I love him.
I know. He's great, right?
Yeah.
And he pushes you.
Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't accept anything, like, writing-wise that's not true and real and good.
He seems like he doesn't accept anything that he doesn't want to accept. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Yeah.
I love him. He's a pill half the time, but whatever.
That's what I like. I like that he's just him. And
he's
that's it.
Right.
Like, mm-hmm. take it or leave it. And the thing is he's totally fucking take it or leave it. I don't care.
He sure is. That's awesome. That is exactly him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But then you cross the line. He seems like he's your friend. I just saw him play last night. And also, let me tell you this before I forget.
They were amazing.
I got in. AJ Vallejo came to pick me up, and we went to go see them play at Emo's, and then mm-hmm. I went with AJ to his show. So AJ showed up to pick me up. I got in his car. He was listening to you.
AJ's a big fan. And
huge fan of yours.
It's super surreal for me because I've watched AJ for so many years since I lived in Austin. You know, yeah. I moved here in 94. And I mean, it's weird to call him a friend now and to have him say, I'm a fan. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And he just shot a video for me. Have you seen it?
No, I saw a picture of it on Instagram, but he was telling me about it last night.
We're about to release it like today. He was uploading it. Yeah. And it's good. He did a good job. He's amazing. I love him. And so I'm just, I don't know. And I'm sitting here with you. I'm kind of tripping sometimes, but it's just like I was saying, I just sort of go with it. I'm like, oh, you know, hey, a radio job. Hey, a acting gig. Okay, whatever. You know, I'm going to try and make it work and see what happens.
But you have really good songs. Like, that's the part that I don't know.
Your songs don't suck. Thank you.
Well, I'm a guy that's done this for a long time. And to me, like, you kind of have to be this tall to be my friend. You know what I mean? Not in AJ's way, but you got to be kind of good. You know what I mean? And so sometimes when I see that somebody is new in it and... It's so all and has been always so all consuming to me mm-hmm. that I'm like, I feel like whatever the serious actors are in those auditions, when some goofball comes in and like gets the part or something, you're like, dude, I've been working for this all my life. Yeah. And this person started acting last week and now they're doing this thing.
I know, it's annoying, right?
Right. Yeah. And so I will say that I was a skeptic.
Yeah. And what'd you think? Like, what'd you think? She didn't write these songs?
No, I knew you did.
Yeah.
Because I remember at a rehearsal, Kathy was like, she said she wrote with you.
She did.
And she said you were good and stuff. But mm-hmm. I still was like, we'll see.
Yeah. We wrote a few songs together, Kathy Valentine and I. And that was another thing that just happened. And I was like, I better use this to learn as much as I can because she's like a true talent, you know. So I just try to pay close attention. And since I'm older, I don't have time to dick around with like, not being good. I'm like, okay, I gotta, if I suck at something, I'm like, okay, I gotta learn it better and then just keep going. So I just try to take everything in and move quickly. I just try to have a steeper, faster learning curve, I think, just because I'm gonna be 43 this year. So, you know, I'm like, if I really want to do this.
You look like you could not even be in your 30s yet.
I think this must be good lighting. Thank you. Very sweet.
No, when you came in, I was like, God damn it.
You look young. What are you talking about? I can't believe you're 46. I'm allowed to say that, right?
Okay. I was just about to act like you couldn't. Okay, so here's something about you that I read, and I wrote it down because I thought it was a really beautiful quote. And
Here comes the mower.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, of course.
Okay.
Oh, dude, it's like a guy, like it's like the Millennium Falcon of of mowers. Okay. Okay, so I was reading a blog that you wrote about pancakes and sort of like this. Mm-hmm. And you said this thing, and this is the quote, no matter how hard we try, our pancakes fail, kids cry, and we can't control situations. We fail in epic ways.
Yeah, I fail all the time. I fail all the time.
So that's what you were saying, is that in your first EP, you weren't open and honest with stuff. What were you like?
Well, I mean, backing up a bit, you know, I had been in this band and we kind of broke up, I guess. They told me it was over, which wasn't exactly the truth.
And this is the Cover Girls.
This was the Cover Girls. Yeah, that's what we started with. So.
Why did you guys start that band? What was going on? Were you guys friends and you mm-hmm. like we having were wine one day and just like, let's do it?
Yeah, well, there were a few of them and they were like, hey, instead of going to lunch together, why don't we... like get somebody to teach us some instruments and just meet and, you know, try to like play some rock songs. And they asked me to do it with them and I was like 9 months pregnant and I was like, I didn't have a lot of money to help pay the instructor. And I was like, I can't, I'm moving. I had too much going on. And so about a year later, they had settled into roles. They'd all kind of tried out different instruments and stuff and they'd settled into roles and the guitar player moved away. She went to California, and so they said, now we have a space for you. Will you join? And I was like, well, I don't play guitar. And they were like, we don't care. Just join. And I was like, all right. So I bought a Squire, you know, Fender.
That's what I got.
That's what people start with. Yeah.
Like, my bass is still one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I just jumped in and did it. And from the first day, I remember there were two guys that were hanging out with us, being instructors, Will Lindo and Christopher Watson. And so I just picked it up and started playing some power chords, you know, just learn the basic fingering. And I could kind of do it. And I was like, I like this because I love guitar. I've always been like a huge fan of like dudes that play guitar. I'm like, I love it. You know, give me some Clapton or whatever.
Yeah.
And While My Guitar Gently Weeps, it's like my all-time favorite song. And so I was like, oh, I'm in. I like this. And my husband was working in Africa at the time, so he was gone. I had a one-year-old, so I didn't exactly have a social life, you know. I was like at home.
Yeah.
So I just sat around and played some guitar and sat around and messed around. I didn't even know what a pentatonic scale was. I didn't know anything. I just did it myself. I watched a couple YouTube videos and try to figure some stuff out. And they were making me jump in. Like, they were like, okay, you know, let's play Hit Me With Your Best Shot. And you need to play the solo. And I was like, ah, okay, I'll try. And I did horribly many times. But every once in a while.
That's how it is, though. Mm-hmm. But you guys, didn't you guys play at like Hefner's mansion and
we
shit
played
like that?
The Playboy mansion. That's part of the advantage of like being a bunch of women and being a little older is like you knew people that could, you know, score you some gigs. So we played the Midsummer Night's Dream Party with Steel Panther at the Playboy Mansion. And we just did covers.
And Hummel went with you, right?
Who?
Joe Hummel?
Yeah, Joey. Yeah. He was our drummer's drum coach for a long time.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we were in a band together at that time.
Yes. Oh, Elements or no?
No, Liars and Saints.
Yes, yeah. Great name.
Thanks.
It's an awesome name. Yeah. Yeah, so we did. We managed to get through that. And we had a lot of fun. We played some crazy gigs, and
I think I saw you guys on TV, like
really?
on a TV show, not like a local news show.
We did that once. It was like
I must have seen it.
Mm-hmm. You must have seen it. It was just a 2-minute thing. I'm shocked that you saw it. It was on like YNN.
The only reason I remember it is because I was like I remember texting Joe and going like I think the girls that you work with are on TV.
Yeah, yeah. We were only on like one time, I think.
So okay, so I'm not doing a very good job of doing a linear conversation.
That's okay.
But sometimes the tangents work well.
Yeah, who cares?
Okay.
Right.
Where are you from?
Killeen. I grew up in Killeen, about an hour from Austin.
No wonder you like Miami.
I got some Killeen in me. Yeah, that's where I grew up. So Austin was the nearest big town. So this has always felt like home, and my parents lived here, or they moved here when I was in college, and so I hot-footed it to Austin, and
so
here I am.
What was your dad in the Army?
No.
Your mom?
No. We just lived there.
Did you date Army dudes?
Hell no. I did not. Nothing against Army dudes.
No.
Nothing against Army dudes. But, you know, I was in high school. My parents weren't having any of that.
Right.
No. You know what? I actually kind of liked it. I liked growing up in Killeen because it was an Army town. There were always new people coming in, and they were always pretty cool. You know, people who lived in Germany, lived all over. So, and then they'd move away, and you had friends all over the place. I liked it.
That's cool.
Yeah, you had a
what
rotating
did your dad
group
do?
Of people. He worked in the nursing home business. He started here in Austin and then worked his way up and was administrator of some nursing homes in Belton and Killeen and ended up working his way up and buying them. And then he eventually leased them to companies that ran them.
That's unbelievable.
I know.
Is there anything I'm missing? I'm joking. I was waiting for the right time to do it. So what did your mom do? Was she
she stayed at home, but she was a teacher. Before they got married, she taught Latin and English, but she was also a writer, and she wrote a book that was never published, and then she became a poet and self-published some poetry, and she wrote this crazy poetry that no one really understood, but I loved it, even though we didn't
like,
understand
it. What do you mean, like, what was crazy about it?
Oh, it's just like she would sit around and read, you know, Kant. And I thought that everybody's mom sat around and read like philosophy, you know. Your mom did too?
My mom got a degree in it.
So did I. That's
you
what
did?
My degree's in, yeah. Yeah, my degree's in philosophy. And she was also deeply Christian, And so she had a lot of Christian things going on in her poetry. Yeah.
That's always interesting to me when somebody is very, God, some kind of fly. It's always, because they seem like opposite mindsets to be really creative. And to also be really, was she religious of a certain religion? Did she go
Methodist.
To a church?
Methodist.
That's a pretty laid back thing, right?
Yeah.
There's not a lot of rules.
Mm-mm.
They don't lay a lot of Mm-mm. trips on you in that one.
No, they don't.
So what kind of kid were you?
I've always been just kind of a nice person and easily making friends. But I was a little on the wild side.
You are a nice person.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I was a little on the wild side. I never have been that keen on anybody telling me what to do.
Yeah.
Which was part of the problem with the band, the Cover Girls, that was later the Mrs. MRS.
Oh, yes.
Yes. So I wanted that band to be a democracy. Sorry, I've taken us in a completely different direction,
totally cool.
But that fits. It's and I don't do well like you were saying, being told what to do, that kind of thing.
Fun.
It's not my jam at all. And so I wanted a democracy, and I was under the illusion that we were going to be. But it turned into a business. We started signing contracts. Things started,
really?
Yeah, and it started being very different. And I remember our bass player one day just said to me, she was like, I think you feel like you're in a box. And I was like, I kind of do. And they kind of said, you know, we're going to do this for a time, and this is how we're going to be, and then we can do these other things. And, you know, because I was pushing to be really honest in songs, like we were talking about.
Yeah.
That's how I wanted to write, and that's what I think speaks to me. So I'm assuming there's other people like me out there, and it's going to speak to them too.
Right.
So that was what I wanted to do, and I was had these reins kind of pulling me in, and I was frustrated. They were frustrated, and they said, "We're done. It's over." But then they went back and actually kept the band together and just really just kicked out me and another girl. So yeah, so they're still doing their thing, which is cool because what they're doing isn't what I needed to be doing. I mean, obviously I made this album and I needed to do, like, after that first EP, I'd leaned on my husband to help me write some of those lyrics, and that was not what I needed to do. Oh well, I won't say that, because I needed to do that to learn that
you
I needed
on
to write
him
them.
To help you write the lyrics.
Uh-huh. For the first EP, for Ghosts and Saints.
Yeah, I met that dude the other night. He seems like a guy I would want on my show.
Oh, he's a badass. My husband?
Yes. I mean, I had like a 5-minute conversation with him, and I don't think I'll ever forget him.
Really?
Yeah, he's awesome. Really interesting.
He's so interesting, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was a U.S. diplomat for like 10 years and has like crazy stories. Yeah.
It's awesome.
I know, he's cool. So we dated in high school in Killeen. He's from Killeen too. And then we had like this 20, my parents said, no, he's too old for you, because he was 4 years older. And anyway, so we didn't see each other for like 20 years, and we reconnected on the internet.
Really?
Isn't that funny? Yeah.
That is so cool.
Yeah, he was living in India. I know, that funny.
Oh, that is so strange.
So, anyway, where were we? Oh, yeah.
I think about that stuff sometimes. I'm like, I wonder what ever happened to that girl. And I'll look her up on the internet.
Mm-hmm. This was before Facebook, like right before Facebook.
You MySpaced him?
No, we didn't even have that. He was going to his high school reunion, and I saw the website. My sister showed it to me, and I was like, wow, Kevin looks really interesting. And so I sent him an email, and that was that. He wrote me back, and I remember shutting my computer. I was like, oh, shit, I like him.
Uh-oh.
I know. Not
really. But you were married before, too?
I was. I was married for 7 years, and my oldest daughter is from him,
okay,
with him, that baby daddy.
Baby daddy.
I got two baby daddies.
Two baby daddies.
I do.
All right, well, then let's go back. So what was your dream then? When you were in Killeen, you wanted to get out of Killeen.
Well, I wasn't going to stay there. You know, I went to college, and then I didn't really know.
Where'd you go, San Marcos, you said?
No, I went to SMU in Dallas for a couple years,
yeah.
And then I finished at Incarnate Word in San Antonio.
Wow.
And I was really just ready to get done. I was like, I want a degree and be done. And I moved here to Austin, and I thought I wanted to do radio.
Okay.
And I always enjoyed it. I worked for the college radio station. I love music. And so to get my foot in the door, I started working at Case 101, which is country. And I don't really like country music, but it was fun for a while. I did overnights for like 2 years, never got days off and whatever, but I did it and it was fun. I learned a lot, but then I was like, I don't want to do radio forever. I saw the people who had careers in it, and I was like, I don't think that's quite for me. And so I moved on. I worked for my dad for a while. I opened a boutique in 99 for like 5 years.
I read that. What was the what was the scene in that boutique?
It was trendy. Definitely, like, I was trying to find stuff that you can find in Austin. So we carried a lot of, like, really crazy stuff. It was the era of Sex and the City. So you can imagine, you know, kind of that vein. I love fashion. And my friend and I, she had a store with her mom. And they took me to market with them. And I started pushing her. And I was like, let's open a store. Let's open a store. And so we did. So I did that for 5 years. I felt like I got an MBA because it was a schooling in business. And it was,
dude, my cousin opened a store a few years ago. And it didn't last that long. It's a hard fucking...
Yeah, it is.
I mean, it is. Yeah. That's a challenge.
It is. And I really liked it. A lot of things about it. But it's a grind, retail. Yeah. Every day, day in, day out. And, you know, you don't make any money.
No. No. No, so. She owned this place called Feline. You know what I'm talking about? It was on South Lamar.
Oh.
Next to Black Sheep.
Yeah.
There was a clothing store there that she owned. Anyway, she was working at Black Sheep when she'd get off work there and, you know... So that she could pay her bills still when she owned the store. So it was it was tough.
It's hard.
Yeah,
so I quit that, and then I had a kid, and then I got a divorce, and then I, you know, had another kid, got married, and so then I started the band stuff. So then now we're caught up to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What's your current husband's name?
Kevin.
Kevin, that's right. Before you met Kevin, did you date?
You mean between the divorce and meeting Kevin? Yeah. Not really, no.
Okay, because it's weird, right? As a grown up.
Yeah, yeah, it would be weird.
It's not
healthy. I didn't really have to do that. Like we started sort of an internet romance. I had a 2-year-old.
And that's there's a lot involved.
I was single mom in it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lady single mom that I have seen a few times. And it seems like there's a lot of stuff going on. Like, it took her 14 days to call me back.
That's an extraordinarily long time.
That's a long time, right? And she's busy with some other stuff.
No.
I mean, it was so long that my friend, Nicole, was like, dude, open your eyes, man. She doesn't like you.
Well, didn't sound like she really was eager to call you back. No, no offense. She and I don't know why. Though, what the hell's wrong called? With her? Really? Oh, suddenly she's all eager 14 days later?
She was very busy.
She was very busy. Okay.
Yeah. And also, you may not know, but part of the show is I need to be taken care of emotionally by my guests.
You do? No. Well, I think she's an idiot. How's that?
No.
Well, she should have called you earlier. She should have
called me earlier. Yeah.
You're awesome.
Thank you.
I mean, I don't know. Exactly. I don't get it.
See,
girl,
Kathy says
girl,
that same kind
you
of stuff.
You got to call a lot sooner.
Yeah. Hopefully she doesn't listen to the show. So you started playing with the cover girls that turned into the misses.
Mm-hmm.
Then they broke up to fire you. I've done that before.
Really?
Fire Dude. Yeah. I broke up the band to Fire Dude.
Wow. So that's a thing.
And then the band got back together like the next day, but we were a trio. Yeah.
Oh my God. Wow.
That's a real thing. Well, it's hard. Listen, I was young and I didn't.
Did you keep the same name and use the same songs and everything?
I kept my songs and play that other dude's songs. I'm trying to think of I learned a valuable lesson. There was a dude that was like, firing people is not that big of a deal. Like, it just takes a second. The only time it gets weird is if someone says why.
Yeah.
Then it gets weird. But if you can find people that accept it, then I had no problem. And in fact, I was like the designated firing guy in my band.
Really?
Even though one time I fired people, I started crying in the middle of it.
Well, that's a good way to, deflect the...
I was overcome with emotion when I was doing it because I knew what I was doing. I was actually kind of fucking.
Wow, that would be hard.
They would be fucked. They were gonna be like this guy was gonna shit was, but he didn't do anything to make me not fire him before. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So That's a tough position to be in. Yeah. But yeah, I think that's a really passive-aggressive, shitty way to, like, we're going to break up the band.
They said that they didn't really intend to do that. They were like, well, we didn't know this was going to happen, and, you know, we didn't know.
So did they play original music now?
Yes, I think so.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, but you wanted to play original music.
I did.
And you wanted to write songs, you had a voice, you wanted to be real.
Well, by this time, I had pretty much become the lead singer. And... like they, and that was a big hurdle for me too. Like, just like guitar, it was like, oh shit, I have to get over a lot of issues to be able to sing in public. Thank you.
You are. Yeah.
Well, I've worked on it. I mean, I take lessons and I mentally had to get there because you can be scared. Like, why would anybody want to listen to me sing? You know, I just had issues like singing in front of people. And anyway, I've gotten over it.
Yeah.
No, I don't care. I have a lot of like, I don't give a shit, whatever. I'll just do it. Where were we? What was the question? I forgot.
You wanted to play original music.
Yes, right. So, so now I do. That's right.
Okay, so how did you do it? Like, you're not in the band anymore.
Right.
Did you?
So I'm kicked out, right? Or I just think we've broken up point. I'm super depressed because they were my good friends and this had turned into like my life. It was a huge chunk of my life.
So that's what happens with bands. And then they break up. It's weird.
And you're like lost. And I was like, well, I've been doing music for a couple years, like 3 years. So I might as well stick with it. I like it a lot. And so I wrote one song with my husband and... I've never recorded it. It's called American Robot, and I still like it though. And
it's a good title.
Thanks. And it's kind of hole-ish. And I just played it on acoustic. I'd picked up an acoustic by this point, in which I'm not the best acoustic player, but whatever. I can, you know, chomp through some chords.
Yeah.
And a friend of mine came over, and I played it for him. And he's a drummer. He's been a drummer. He's my drummer now. Yates Hagen.
A nice guy.
Yates, he's great. He's
and a
great.
Good, really good drummer.
He is. He's fantastic. I'm so happy. He's like my partner in this now. I'm so thrilled.
You could kind of tell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're good friends. But he came in and he listened to it and he was like, hey, well, I got a gig coming up at Swan Dive. He had a band, I think he was playing with Big Gun Show then. And he was like, do you want to open? And I was like, okay. And he was like, do you have 5 songs? It just could be a short set, 5 songs. And I was like, yeah, total lie. I didn't have 5 songs.
Yeah.
I was like, sure. So I was like, oh, I got to get to work. I have 6 weeks. So in 6 weeks, I wrote 5 songs. I scrapped together a band. I found some friends.
Yeah.
And I talked to Joey. He couldn't do it that night. I think he was turning 40 and going to Mexico or something. And so I managed to get some people together and we did it. And right after that, I was like, I felt more confident. And I was like, okay, well, this is like a good example of things just coming my way and I just do it. I had met Zeely.
Love that guy.
I had met him about 6 or 8 months before when we were with the missus still, when I was still doing that. And I wasn't happy with the producer that had been chosen, I should say, because we were doing some recording and I was like, I remember saying to him, how do you know when a producer's not right? And he said, you just feel it in your gut. And
if you're asking that question,
he's and he not goes, right. He goes, what's your gut tell you? And I just stood there staring at him. I was like, and he was like, there's your answer. And he was like, hey, I know a guy you should meet. His name's Dwight Baker. And I was like, oh, really? Okay, well, I'll file that name away. So right after that show at Swan Dive, I was like, I'm going to look up this Dwight Baker dude. So I just called him out of the blue. And I was like, hey, you know, I'll send you some audio from my show. Or I think somebody had videoed it or something. And so I sent it to him. And I was like, will you work with me? You know, I want to do an EP. And he was like, well, you're not going to believe this. I have an opening coming up. Sure. we hit it off. And I was like, okay. So we started, you know, progressing from there.
And so what were the songs on the EP? You wrote them with your husband?
I did. Yeah. Most of them. Broken Things. Like sometimes he would write a version of something and then I would go back and change it and fix it and I would write the music to it. Sweet Liberty, I wrote by myself. I can't remember what's on that. Ghosts and Saints, he wrote a lot of. What else is on there? Permanent Red, which he wrote most of, which is I played the other night and that's probably the most popular song from that album. And I love that song. And then Red Licorice, which is... I went to a strip club and I saw this girl and she like was stripping.
You went to a strip club?
Yeah, in LA. Jumbo's Clown Room. Have you been there?
Yeah.
It's awesome.
I have.
Yeah. So actually, it's not exactly a strip club. They don't take it all off. But she like ate some licorice and she pulled it out of her bra and ate some. And she was super hot. Stuck it down her pants and danced around a whole bunch more and then took it out and ate it again. I was like, she was so hot. I wrote a song about it. So, and then Broken Things, which Kevin also helped with that one. And I was really going for like a White Stripes kind of feel on that one. And so those were the songs on the EP.
There, you know, okay, that's what I wanted to talk to you. There's the cool, punk, I don't want to say it that because it's not, but there's almost like a new wave sensibility.
People say punk. I've heard that a couple times.
I mean, I'm cool to me, with. Punk is something different than somebody with spiky. Like, it is like a style of music that is hard to listen to. And yours isn't.
I don't know. I just read Billy Idol's memoir about the start of punk.
Yeah.
And I think his attitude about it was this do-it-yourself attitude, and it can be whatever you want.
That's
it's
true.
Real indefinable.
Right.
And that I'm down
okay,
with.
That I'll give it mm-hmm. to. Okay. Mm-hmm. But to me, there's like a sensibility of whatever happened afterwards that I was super influenced by.
Mm-hmm.
And I
totally.
Think maybe that's what, I think when I got in AJ's car last night, the thought that went through my mind is this is music that both of us know. You know what I mean? Like, we know where this is coming from. And that's why when you hear your stuff, it's like, oh, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, I'm a child of the 80s. I mean, and there's no doubt about that. But I love the 90s stuff, too. You know, we pull influences. This Forward album, I definitely was feeling more 90s about. You know, I was looking. I wrote, like, practically a dissertation before I went in the studio. I'll back up to Dwight produced that first EP, Ghost of Saints. And then this one, he didn't have time because he was doing all his Wind in the Waves stuff. So he was like, David Butler's going to produce it, which was great. And it was phenomenal.
It sounds great.
Oh, he's so good. Well, he's a risk taker. He's 28, and it went really well. I was really, really happy with that. Dwight mixed it and did an amazing job, and he was also my like consultant for the lyrics.
I've heard that he gets in there.
Oh, dude, yes.
I like that.
He'll just be like, this is shit. He gets his red pen out and he starts like on all your stuff, and he's just like, nope, nope, nope. And you want to cry. And then I put up a fight. And I'm like, no, this is good. This is good. And he'll say, this sounds like it was translated into Spanish, then translated back into English. And I'm like, ah! He says things like that. Yeah, it's hardcore.
Wow.
But he's right.
Yeah.
He's right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And when I listen, when I listen to him and take his advice, the song always gets better. But there was one, like my song Better Tomorrow, which is probably the most like punk-ish sounding on the Forward album. Mm. And I had to rewrite that song so many times. And he was like, sorry, it just sounds cheesy. I don't like this. And I was like, no, it's good. And he was like, fine, if you want to do it, fine. And then I stomped around my house and I threw a little fit. And I was like, ah. So I scrapped the whole thing and wrote the whole thing again. And I was like, here. And he was like, oh, you wrote it again? I thought you were going to stick with it. And I was like, no, I'll listen to you. And he was like, well, it's good now. And I was like, okay.
And you feel like telling these people, I'm pretty sure that this is mode. Like, I'm pretty sure that it's mode and blowed. Get out of here. Jesus. David Butler, I haven't heard of that guy yet. What else has he done?
He's in a band called J. Green and the Steady. I think that's the name of the band. They changed it recently. He's phenomenal. He's been working with Dwight for a long time. Hmm. And so he's producing a lot out at Matchbox Studios,
which is
where I recorded this.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, so when you went in to make that record, Dwight still consulted with the lyrics.
Yeah. Well, first I had a nervous breakdown because I was like, I can't do this. I suck.
I thought you meant like a real one. Sort of.
My nervous breakdowns don't last that long. They last like a few hours a day. And so I get through them pretty quick. But I called him and I was like, I can't do this. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm a mess. I can't write anything. He was like, what are you talking about? You know, he was like, I took you on because you have something to say. And so say it. Get in there and do it. And they're like a therapist. He's like a therapist to me a lot. And he's had to put up with a lot of my shit. And not that I have that much, but I get all like, what am I doing?
I think that's a normal thing.
Well, I wrote a song about it, you know? Yeah. Like, I wrote a few. I just try to get it out that way. I think it is normal, too. And that's why I'm honest about it and in the songs and stuff, because hopefully, you know, people will feel better and go, well, she's out there doing it, and she has to struggle with it too.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. Do you find, do you get, because it seems like you, I mean, you have like a bazillion Twitter followers. Not a bazillion, but like 8,000 or something. That's a lot.
It is.
Does that come from like blogging and being on the radio and all that stuff?
I think so.
It all kind of helps, doesn't it?
Uh-huh. And I mean, I'm just, I'll constantly run something on Facebook to promote, you know, like I don't spend a lot of money, but you know, if you spend a little bit and you try to keep promoting your page and stuff, it just gets it out there a little bit more.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what to do as far as PR, Johnny. It's hard.
Have you hired anybody?
I did. And, I mean, last fall for like 4 months and, I don't know. I got some of those interviews that you read and that kind of thing, but I don't know, I just felt like Dwight's always like, don't do it.
He's don't like, do
it, he says, do it yourself. Yeah, that's what he says. And so I thought, well, I'll just try it, why not, you know? And then I, you know, did. And then I was like, oh yeah, whatever.
Doing it yourself, I think makes for more lasting relationships.
I agree with that.
Like, I think that had you come here, hang on a second,
we were talking about PR. Yeah.
Okay, there we go. Had you come here on through a publicist,
mm-hmm.
you might not have brought tacos. We wouldn't have hung out and talked. You know what I mean?
I always bring tacos.
Oh yeah, you do.
But
you know what? That's one of the things that I like about what I do. Even though I do deal with a lot of publicists, I've seen ones that are real bad mm-hmm. and ones that are real good, because I'm seeing it from another side now.
Right.
And I see how they work. There are some very good ones out there, but also I like being able to reach out to people and like, hey, you want to come on my show?
Yeah.
I think it's kind of like cooler.
Yeah. I was talking to someone, I won't say her name recently, but she was like laying out all these rules of like how to make it in the Austin music scene. And first of all, I'm not real big on a bunch of rules. Okay. But she was like laying all this shit out. Like, you have to do this and you have to do this. And she was like, and you don't self-release. And I'm like, yeah, right. Whatever. I'm like, okay, yeah, you don't. And then she was like, oh shit, what was I going to say?
You don't self-release?
She was like, yeah. I was like, what are you talking about? People self-release all the
time. Dude, fucking Radiohead self-releases. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah. So, but she was like, and you know, you never talk directly to people. You only want, you know, your agent or somebody to talk to you. And I'm like, oh my God, dude.
That's all how I people did it in 1986. People. That doesn't happen anymore.
Well, I mean, I'm accessible. Yeah. I like to be accessible. I like to be real and get to know people. I totally agree with you on that. Yeah. So anyway, that was my point. Yeah.
That person is not in this time, because the main thing about now is that people just take it. Like, really, the only person I know with an assistant is AJ.
Really? Well, an assistant's different.
I just mean, like, in that world of, like...
I think assistant's a little
I mean, he
bit
does
different.
A lot of stuff. And I could see, right. like, he doesn't want to park his car when he gets to his gig. That's awesome. I'm going to hire someone mm-hmm. to do that, too, because that was genius.
Really? Is that what he did? I didn't know that.
He's
nice.
He was like, oh, man, I'll just pull back here, man. So I'm going to give him my keys, man.
And get
my
assistant park my car.
I told him last night, I said, you know, you realize that like my whole imitation of AJ is, hey, dude.
That's perfect.
Isn't that good?
I do an AJ too. Maybe I'll bust it out.
Okay, bust it out.
I have to feel like inspired to do my AJ, but I do it.
Right.
I do it around the house sometimes to my husband. I'm going to talk like AJ.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Todd Wilson does that. Do you know that guy?
Yeah.
He's a talker guy. He'll call me and go, dude.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So they said if you want to make it in the Austin music scene, machines are off, you have to tell me who this person is.
Okay, I will. Yeah, I don't think that she said that verbatim, but she had a lot of rules on how it works. And I'm more of a march to my own drummer, kind of whatever happens. Obviously, I've been telling you that. Like, it's just, whatever, you know. So that's like what I like to do.
You know what? How you make it in this scene here?
How?
You be really good.
Yeah, well.
At something. You know?
Yeah.
Because there are guys that write really great songs that sing terrible, mm-hmm. but you still go see them because they're really good at something.
Mm-hmm.
And be nice.
That's a good point, be good at something. I don't really know what I'm good at, but I just keep trying to figure that out.
I think you're good at it. You're good at
Thanks.
At music.
I mean, I think I saw maybe, you. I think maybe I'm good at connecting with people. you know?
And that's what, like, music is like, mm-hmm. that. It seems like that's what you're doing. Like, some people need to get something off their chest and don't really care what other people think. That's mm-hmm. me. That's the truth. Mm-hmm. When I make music, I don't go like, this is really going to resonate with someone. I'm just like, thank God I'm not feeling that anymore.
No, I and do that so, too. Right, that's right. totally me. Yes, but, I do too.
But, I mean, also, that's why I'm in my apartment with a podcast as opposed to, like, mm-hmm. Bono. So anyway, I forgot the point that I was trying to make. What I was trying to say is that you've really found a way to express yourself and connect with people, and music is a fast way to do that. It's a direct way to do it. It seems like you're doing that anyway, like with your blog and with your.
I just write and get it out there. I think that's what it is, and it takes different shapes. You know, yeah. maybe it takes that shape. Maybe it takes this. We're working on a children's book right now, my husband and I, and we've got the illustrations done and everything. And so we're, you know, writing that too. I don't know. I think of something that I'm like, I might as well do it.
I might be older than you, but will you guys adopt me?
Of course.
That sounds
You're a lot
cool.
of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll adopt somebody that I can go out and parents. Get drunk with. That'd be fun. Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. I'm in.
I'm perfect. So what is your plan? With I'm sorry, your album's called Forward. And it just came out, right?
It came. I released it last like September 30th.
That's mm-hmm. that's
yeah, it's recent. Mm-hmm.
And you're making it. You made a video for one of the next single.
Made a video for. It's the only one I've done a video for. I didn't have the money to spend on a whole video. You know, like people tell you it's going to cost thousands of dollars and all this. And AJ,
I need to
friends,
pay you for that show.
Oh, yeah, you do.
Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
AJ was like, I can make you one and it won't cost you much. And I was like, all right. So we did. So that was a big reason, you know, why I did it. A, it was with him. And B, it was not going to be breaking the bank. And yeah. So that was cool. I'm really happy about it. It turned out really good. I'll be sure and show it to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people probably listening don't realize how costly it is to do what you're doing.
To do what you're doing.
You don't have a band.
No, and that's been,
you know what I mean?
It's
not like you have to pay.
Yeah.
And it's not like you have jackasses up there. You have, like, you know,
yeah.
the guy that's playing with the guy from Live now is, like, you know.
Yeah, Zach Lloyd.
Has a week off. He jumps on
Amazing.
The thing. Amazing.
Yeah. I know. And so that's been a tough one for me. I'm glad
that's
you
hard.
Brought it up. It's really, it's unsustainable.
When I
don't know how people do it.
Listen to this. When I put out my last solo album, I had a label that paid for the recording, that paid for putting it out and all that stuff. All I had to do was pay my band for the shows and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, it got to where, and I should have stuck it out a little longer with mm-hmm. it. But I just was like, fuck, man, if this was a shoe store, I would close it.
Of course you would. It is not a business model that's sustainable or viable.
No.
Absolutely not. And I it's been about a good 8 months or something, and I've been like, I can't do this. I don't know what I'm going to do. I saw people like Kendall Beard and AJ, and I was like, I need an AJ. Like, I need somebody who's going to be in this with me.
That's the other thing,
yeah.
too.
Yeah, and I was like, I put that out in the universe, and thank God Yates all of a sudden was like, hey, you know, I love your album, and I'm between bands right now, so I'm ready. I'm in. And I was like, ah. And so Yates really pushed me to contact David Butler and get tracks made. So we had tracks made for every song. So now we can function without, say a bass player drops out. We can function. People are doing that these days. And whether people like it or not. Dwight's tracking.
I just saw them last night.
Everybody's freaking tracking.
I just saw last night mm-hmm. They had a drummer.
Yeah.
For the first time.
Well, I asked him about it, and he was like, he goes, most of the time, I don't even think people realize there's not a drummer with us. Because they had a drummer there last night, but they play plenty without a drummer.
Yeah, I've seen him without
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, so Yates pushed me to get that done, and that has been great. Because I can hold down rhythm guitar, you know, and some of that stuff, but I don't necessarily want to play lead guitar and sing. That's too hard for me to really give it both my all. And so and I'm not that good, you know. I don't have like a pedal board that's like awesome, you know, or anything like that. And that confuses me. And so So now this is more sustainable. Now I've got him. We've got tracks. We've got me. I think we might have a lead guitar stepping up that really wants to join. And then my regular bass player plays for Pat Green. He wasn't there the other night, Matt Slagle. And he's amazing. And he, I have a feeling he'd do it for whatever we make, a cut of what we make. And so that's cool. That's cool. We're in.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So that's been a really tough one to figure out. And
it's
I don't play that much because of that. And that's, well, that's one of the reasons. Plus, I'm like figuring out how to book gigs. I don't know. You know, everything for me is like one step at a time.
That was a good gig the other night. You put that together.
Yates booked it with C3, and then I reached out to Kathy Valentine. She was like, hey, I got a band with Johnny Gatti. I was like, oh.
And awesome. So it is hard to book gigs. That's one of the things
What's
that
the trick
to
that? I don't know. I mean.
You know what? Just letting, having like a skin that's made of steel. Because it's like you're begging for your job.
Lord.
And then
that's not the
now
answer
they
I
do these things where you're like, well, and sometimes like somebody, I'm not going to say the place, but I've reached out like, hey man, you know, I'm this guy. And they were like, oh yeah, I've heard of you forever. God, how awesome. Would love to have you, man. Just fill out this questionnaire.
What?
And it was just kind of like, how many people can you guarantee being at the show? I was like,
guarantee
anywhere from one to like maybe 200.
Right. Somewhere between that, somewhere in that range.
I don't know how that works. Mm-hmm. I mean, luckily I'm in Skyrocket, so I get mm-hmm. to, my day job is music, which is good.
Yeah.
And, but it's hard because for me to, that's what it was. When I put out that album, it was called El Payaso. When I would have to take off from Skyrocket. Mm-hmm. To go play these shows. Like I did that night. The mm-hmm. other night. Like I didn't make nothing compared to what I make with Skyrocket, right. You know. And so what was happening was I was having to pay these guys. And pay for the gas. And pay for all this stuff. And I paid a sound guy. And I paid a tech. Because I had to do everything. I needed some kind of assistance.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was not making any money.
Right.
So I was just paying and then not working mm-hmm. to make money. So it would just, it got to where that was where I was like, this isn't.
No.
This is a really expensive hobby right now.
It is. And that's been a really good thing to come out of me being on my own is the level of respect that I have developed for everybody doing this.
Me too.
I mean, I just marvel at it. I'm like, I can't bitch because I've only been doing this a couple of years and these people are dedicated. Sticking it out for years. Yeah. I have so much respect for everybody that's doing this. Everybody. Not just Austin, but
yeah.
Know. Yeah. I mean, so anyway, I love that. Like that we're all just doing it anyway.
Yeah. mm-hmm. Well, that's the funny thing too, is that there's this guy, Bruce Salmon. You know him?
Mm-mm.
He's a really great, talented musician. And he was on here and we were talking about it. And we were talking about getting paid and like Spotify and this kind of stuff. He was like, you know, artists didn't make money except for the last couple of generations.
Yeah.
Musicians weren't Paul McCartney rich or Madonna mm-hmm. rich in like the 20s.
No. They were probably broke ass broke.
Yeah, but then it's weird because he was just basically like, this is the way it is for artists. You know that. We just had this kind of 50-year period where people got fucking super rich
mm-hmm.
and now that's over.
Yeah.
It's back to you're a fucking starving artist. That's what it's about, you know?
Yeah. And I was just didn't understand that when I first started on my own. I've had like, you know, pie in the sky dreams or something. I was like, oh, maybe I could get it on the radio or, you know, whatever, make some money at it. And then I was like, those goals are a recipe for unhappiness.
Yeah. Yeah. I see that in people sometimes sitting right where you're sitting, where I'm just like, you're going to be so bummed out.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Nothing is as cool as you think it is, but you got to love to do it. And then it mm-hmm. is as cool as you think it is. You got to change your expectations, you know?
That's exactly. And that's what I did. And that was what I knew coming out of that EP and going into this album. I was like, I have to refocus all my goals and expectations. And
yeah.
So I thought I want to end 2014 with an album done that I am proud of and that my daughters will be proud of and that is honest and real. That, boom. And you know what I did?
You did.
Yep. And that's why I had the vinyl made, because I was like, you know what? I'm really proud of this. Fuck it. I got a record player. I sure would like this on vinyl. So I slogged it out and got that done. Yeah.
I think it's worth it. To me, when someone does that, that shows the real dedication to the actual art, you know?
Cool.
Just to the art of being, you know, making music, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you're like, you know, this, I'm not going to make any money off it, but isn't it cool?
Isn't it cool?
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. And, you know, if you ever do make any money, that's awesome. Like, but
yeah,
whatever. I'm not disillusioned any longer.
Well, to me, there are ways that you can still do this, and mm-hmm. there are ways that you can make this work. And there are people that are doing it. There's people that have two-man bands. You know what I mean? Like,
exactly.
There's no way Patty and Dwight, even with two more people, would have been able to do what they've done the last couple of years.
I went to see Melissa Etheridge at ACL a couple months ago, and this guy opening for her, I don't know who he was. I still don't know what his name was. He was up there with a guitar, an acoustic guitar, and a laptop on the ACL stage.
Yeah.
Just playing, like, and everybody was into it. And I was like, wow, this is really enlightening. You know, technology has freed us up quite a bit.
You got to do what you can now.
Yeah.
And I used to fucking hate tracks. Like, I was in this band called Andosheen
mm-hmm.
with Casey McPherson. I remember when they had these things, I was like, God, you guys. Just do it ourselves. And if we can't do it, then leave it out. You know what I mean?
And I understand that school of thought totally.
Yeah. But I mean, also I was just a kid that like played in clubs where the sound systems,
mm-hmm.
you just don't, like, you can't have inner ears and shit like that when you're playing it like hole in the wall.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I
no.
mean? They don't even have monitors there. So I remember our guitar player, this guy, Jimmy, when I was in this band Gowdy and we had a deal and stuff, he was like, we got to do this thing where we have the tracks. Cause I was just like, oh no, I'm not going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a fucking, like, you, like, what you're seeing is
is real, man.
Yeah. 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 Well, yeah. we were doing all these fucking showcases in LA and doing all these shows. And dude, you'd see like a fucking 3-person band with like 6-part harmonies and like 7 percussion tracks.
You're like looking around like, going, where's that?
This is just, make up for it with balls and energy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That was my thinking then. But now I've definitely come
around.
Well, I mean, it's a necessity. I think mm-hmm. back then you could tour with a band.
Mm-hmm.
And people, I don't know. I think back then people were doing it for a different reason. Now people fucking have to.
Yeah. I'm just constantly astonished that everyone's doing it. And I'm like, well, all right, then I guess I'm okay with that.
Well, I thought it sounded really good. And it wasn't terribly over the top.
My tracks?
Yeah, it wasn't. Mm-mm. It wasn't like,
no,
there was,
it's not at all.
There was like 16 people on stage,
no,
or something.
No, not at all. But I have a couple songs
nice
that
things.
Have some weird
cool
parts.
Loops.
And yeah, like in Safe With Me, it's got sort of this string thing going on, synthy. Yeah. Thing going on, and we could pull that off with keyboards, but then I gotta fucking figure out a keyboard player, you know? So yeah. So track is a little more economical solution.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, that's great. And Yates was the one that took it upon himself to go do that stuff.
Yates pushed me to do it.
Okay.
And we both met with David Butler and said, hey, can we just, you know, figure out different versions of these tracks? And so we've got them now, so that's good.
That's great.
Yeah. And he's helped me a ton. So
are you doing anything for South by Southwest? This is going to come out after South by, sorry.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no problem.
Do you need it? Is there a time situation?
A time?
Like you need it to come out? No, I asked you to be on.
No, no.
Yeah. Psh, yeah. Put out whatever
no,
the fuck I want. It's my
you.
Show.
What? You didn't ask me.
I did ask you.
Yes, you did. You did ask me. I was being you right then.
Oh, yeah.
I was being you.
Was that your imitation of me?
No, it wasn't.
It
wasn't very good. It wasn't very good. I was just sort of just off the cuff, you know.
Everyone that imitates me does my stoned.
Oh,
me.
Really?
Yeah.
I'd like to see that.
Does, dude, man, what? And it was like, I don't even talk like that. Although the tech, our roadie guy for Skyrocket, he does one thing and it's unbelievable.
What's that?
He goes, And I was just like, that's not me at all. And then there was a video of me doing one of these podcasts, and I was going the whole time. So, yeah.
Busted.
Busted.
Mm-hmm.
Who, do you do any imitations of anyone?
Oh, I do, but I can't think of them right now.
Okay. What about, tell me more about your kids. What do you guys do?
What do you want to know? What do we do?
Yeah, what do you do as a mom? Like, you're a rock mom. Do you guys play songs? Do they go like, oh, Mom, I love that song by Meghan Trainor? And then you go like, oh, guys, let's sing it. Like, all about that song. No trouble.
Kind of. Yeah. Sometimes we just sing and have fun. And they're cute. And the children, they like to sing a lot. They both want to be singers now. So that's cool, though. I'm down. And they're artistic and cute and little girls, and I love it. And so we're writing this children's book, you know, it's about a little girl that wants to be a singer. Imagine that. And we've kind of got mapped out some other books, and I've got another EP done.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh, I do. And I've got another four songs that are done, and one of them doesn't fit at all on this EP. It doesn't really fit anywhere. It's just, it's like I got back from Vegas and I was like, I felt like I was like super low point because I'd been partying my ass off in Vegas. So I wrote this song. I'm even spacing out on the title. I'll think of it in a second. So I have this other EP that's going to be super mom related, and it's like parent related. And yeah. I wrote a song for my girls. It's called Little Birds. I have like a big tattoo on my shoulder.
I noticed you have some tattoos.
I have like seven, and I have one that's two birds on my shoulder. That's my little girl. So I wrote one called Little Birds. It's very sweet, and they came in and sang backup on it. And
that's awesome.
It was really awesome. It was a cool experience for them, and I cherish that song. I mean, like, forever we have that, and it's so sweet. And then I did one song that's it's kind of not necessarily political, but a little bit, because it's about those drills that they do in school now in case someone comes in shooting, you know, a lockdown drill.
No, I don't know anything about that. Tell me about that.
That's what they do these days. When my daughter's walking home from school, I'm walking home with her one day, and she's like, I'm like, what'd you do at school? She's like, we had a drill. And I'm like, yeah, like fire drill. Yeah, I went outside and all that. And she was like, no, like if somebody comes in shooting. And I was like, my heart just sank and like tears went to my eyes. And I was like, oh, right, of course, that's the thing. You know, you got to prepare for that. And I said, well, how's that go? What do you do? And she was like, well, we just sit in a circle on the floor and everybody has to be really quiet and our teacher locks the door. And I get emotional just talking about it with you, because I was just like, oh, fuck, this is what our world is, you know? And so anyway, that song.
It is.
Yeah. That song is called Your Backyard. And the chorus is basically like, why does it have to happen in your backyard for it to matter? Because I thought about all the shootings that, you know, and the parents start working on ending this gun violence. But they don't do it until it's too late. Their child's dead, or it's already happened in their school. And it just is heartbreaking. And so I've written a song about that. And that's on the EP. And I'm happy to let you listen to it or play it or whatever you want to do. And I have another song that's a more acoustic song about real life. Just kind of, it's called The Real Show. Like reality show, what we see, that shit on TV versus, you know. I'm going crazy because I've got my kids running around and whatever else.
You have a lot going on.
I have a shitload going on, I know. And they're like tearing up my driveway today because we're trying to sell our house. We're redoing a place. It's fucking crazy.
God, that sounds crazy.
It is.
So what are you going to do with the Mom EP? Is it going to be in a different kind of audience for it? Or do you going to...
That's a good question.
Do you know Sarah Hickman?
I don't know her
you
personally.
You should be friends with her.
I should be friends with her.
Yeah, it seems like you guys would be friends.
Really?
Yeah, cool. She's a nice person. I'll tell her about you.
I would love to meet her. Okay. Yes, I've always enjoyed her music. And so thanks. Yeah, so I don't know what's going to happen with that. Again, I'm just doing it and I'll see what happens and figure it out. That's kind of I just figure it all out as I go. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's how you do it. And, but I like that you're calm about it. You're not always this calm, are you?
Yeah, I'm pretty calm. I'm pretty calm. Yeah, I'm not like a frazzled, crazy person. I try to, I have moments where I'll, you know, dig out an old carcass and beat on it or something about, you know, some issue. But overall, no, I'm all right. I try to meditate at least like 5 minutes a day or so. That kind of thing.
You exercise? You're in good shape.
I exercise. I try to take care of myself and keep my head on straight. I sleep. Like to sleep.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. But I drink too much and, you know, I get tattoos and shit like that. So
I saw you. One says Be Here Now.
Yeah, that was for 2 years ago. I did that. And I was really focused on being present And I tend to, you know, look at my phone too much or think about this or think about where I'm going or what I'm doing. And so I really focused hard that year on being present. And
that's good.
Yeah, it's a good thing. Yeah,
what's that feather?
That is a symbol from my mom. My mom passed away in 2005. And like a white feather is my symbol for her. And so I got it tattooed on me.
I should do that.
You should do that.
I'm going to copy your exact tattoo. Feather buddies. No, I would.
This is a good spot.
It is?
Mm-hmm.
Those things hurt. Like, I think I'm done. I don't think I can get tattooed. I got them in the, you know.
Every time I get one, I go, that's my last one.
Is that some kind of infinity symbol?
Yeah, I got that a long time ago. Three of them? Yeah, three of them. So it was going to be like, you know, people kind of make fun of me when I say this, but it was kind of like the infinite nature of our lives intertwined. And so there was one for Kevin, one for me, one for my daughter, Sid. And then I had another baby. So
yeah,
I was like, Kevin, you're out.
She feels left out. Oh.
No, Kevin got kicked out. So now it's me and both my girls. It's like, sorry, she's in, you're out.
And he's so cool.
Yeah, he's cool.
He's a diplomat,
mm-hmm.
Right?
And he, you know what? I'm so lucky because a lot of people probably have a partner that doesn't support them when they do stuff like this. And
right.
I am so lucky because he's my biggest fan.
Yeah.
And
that's what I got from him too.
He's totally just like, whatever works for you, baby. And I'm like, awesome. Thanks. How lucky is that?
That's interesting because, you know, in the male psyche, that's not a big thing that we do.
No, it's not. He's really cool with everything.
Yeah.
And the acting stuff, you know, if I have to like pretend someone else is my husband or whatever, he's like, whatever, do it. Go for it. I was in an acting class and I had this love scene with this guy and I was like, I'm going to have to really go for it.
Like, what do you mean love scene? Like,
well, it was I was supposed to be trying to seduce him. He was a little younger than me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I was like, I think I'm really going to have to do, go for it for it to work.
Why, why do it if you're not going to do that?
And my husband was like, go for it. Put your tits on his head. Do it. Go for it. Whatever you got to do. I was like, okay, thanks. He's just like.
Was there
like,
grinding and everything?
No, it was nothing like that. Okay. No, it was nothing like that. It was just a scene, you know. But
I remember me and my friend Anar were on this show on Showtime called Going to California, and we were members of Jerry O'Connell's band. And he had a bigger part than me, where he got to kiss this girl. And he was like, he asked somebody something and they were like, you realize you don't stick your tongue in her mouth, right? And he was like, no.
No. Like, wow. I wouldn't have known that.
Yeah.
Oh, is that what they do? They just.
That's what I was kind of like. Well, then that show's shitty. Why would you not totally make out? I mean, you're getting paid.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Get some tongue.
So anyway, yeah, he found out just like seconds before he did it that you're not supposed to do that. And he was really stoked that he didn't freak that girl out.
I know. Wow. That's pretty cool. You got to do that.
Yeah. Maybe I should start acting and not go make out with girls. Like just strictly do love scenes.
There you go. You'll just be like a Lothario. Is that what it's called?
Is that what it's called?
I think so.
That's a great. That was
Lothario.
Great. Yeah. Obviously, someone's mom is a poet. It was a poet. Did when she introduced herself and someone said, what do you do? Did she say, I'm a poet?
No.
Okay,
she didn't really say I'm anything.
Okay.
So I'm Sydney.
I'm just Sydney.
Sydney.
Mm-hmm. Sydney. So Amy, we can expect, when is this? You don't know when the EP is going to come out.
I don't. I haven't chosen a date or a time or whatever.
Right.
I'm just not sure what I'm going to do with that. But I, you know what? I'm still enjoying the whole forward thing and it rocks. And so we'll be playing more. I want to play with you again.
Okay, yeah, let's do another show.
For sure.
Is there anything I'm missing?
Is there anything you're missing? I know. nothing leaps to mind. I just thank you so much. I'm honored.
I've enjoyed our conversation.
I have too, very much. For
the listeners that made it all the way through, it's quiet now.
Is this whole thing, so you don't edit any of that out. It goes.
No. Anar told me there was, do you know Anar?
Mm-mm.
Why did I think you knew him?
I don't know. You've got this long list of people you better get me introduced to, apparently.
He's a good guy. He was telling me today that I could get somebody at Dwight's studio. Can't remember his name, but he works with Kelly Clarkson.
Hmm.
He's like a drum tech or something.
Oh,
you know what I'm talking about?
I don't know. Is Brian, maybe?
Brian Jones.
Brian, yeah.
Yeah, because he had
I've
the same
once.
Name as the guy from the Rolling Stones.
Yeah.
So Anar told me that I could give, because I was telling him that, long story, my podcasts were really noisy last year at South by, because I did them at the Driscoll. And then listeners were like bummed. They'd write me and be like, I can't stand to hear all the noise in the background of talking. And he was like, oh, if you ever have that problem again, contact Brian Jones. He can take it out.
Wow.
So I was like, well, that's good.
That's awesome. Yeah, he supplies them with a bunch of guitars and stuff. And there's just this wall of, have you been in there? Huge wall of, like,
no, I need,
amazing.
I want to go out there.
Yeah, you should check it out.
I was having a tweeting conversation with Dwight today.
Were you?
Yep.
Is that right? Telling him how good his show was last night?
Yeah. And also, his guitar tone was really unbelievable. So I told him I wanted to marry it. And he told me that she was single. And then I said I could tell because she was acting like it. And then somebody else wrote in and said, I can't stand to see you two fight. Oh, do you know Clint Wells?
No.
The guitar player guy from Nashville?
We're Instagram friends.
He's awesome, man.
Somehow. I don't even know how that happened. I have all these weird Instagram friends that I don't even know how it happens.
Isn't that weird?
Yes. Yes.
Do you enjoy social media?
I don't know if I'd say enjoy, but I do it. Sometimes. It's a time waster extraordinaire. I can get sucked in and stare at stuff that I don't even be staring at. And it's depressing for me. I sometimes look at everybody else and what they're doing, and I'm like, oh, I'm not doing anything. Oh, my God, I'm depressed. But I'm sure I look that way to other people. You know, like, you put your best foot forward on social media, and it's deceiving.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah, that was what I was reading about.
That's
in
what
that,
that was in that blog post. Yeah. That's right. That's what I was writing. Like, it's a false. It's fake.
Yeah.
And so I keep that in mind. But anyway. So yeah, I always feel like everybody's doing all these great things, and I get kind of like, oh, down on myself a little bit.
Do you know? I hate to keep on asking. Do you know people? But do you know Billy Harvey?
No.
Oh, he's a fantastic
apparently,
dude.
Apparently, the answer is always no.
He's amazing. But he was on the show, and he was like in a movie or something. And it filmed in India, so he had, like, all these pictures. And I was like, it's like, man, you've had, like, the most exciting year. You know, I've been following you on Facebook, and I see you, like, did this and that. And he goes, yeah, dude, that was 3 weeks. I don't post the other 11 months in 1 week where I'm just sitting in my bathtub crying.
So all you need is, like, one exciting week, and you look like a pro. You look good.
Yeah. A friend of mine was talking me into getting on Tinder.
Oh, how's that going?
Terrible. And I'm off of it. It's disgusting. It's weird.
I haven't done it.
Well, I hope not.
No.
You're married. there were couples on there looking for bi dudes or straight girls.
Okay. Yeah.
Kind of weird. Anyway, I noticed that people, like, say people have like 4 or 5 pictures of themselves. Mm-hmm. It's like in front of a beautiful snow mountain, at the white beach.
Mm-hmm.
Parachuting, and like, this is who I am. And I was like, dude, this is like the biggest bullshit trip. Like, right. I should just have pictures of myself, like,
sitting on your couch and
yeah.
I mean, you know, like,
rolling
that's
joints,
what we should do. Yeah.
Rolling joints on a Amy Edwards LP.
Fuck yeah. Do that. Please do that.
I will.
Tweet it or something.
I can't do that.
Oh, no, you can't do that.
Can you do that?
I don't know.
I'm friends with cops and DAs.
Oh, then don't do it.
They're totally, they know my scene.
They do.
Mm-hmm. They don't get mad at me.
Oh, good. Well, it should be legal anyway. I mean, come on. Who are we kidding?
That's what they say.
Yeah.
I'm not going to name the people that say it, but...
That's all right.
They're good guys.
I'm just going to assume it's all of them.
Yeah, I hope so.
I do, too. So, anything you're missing, I can't think
of. I hope you have a
else.
Great South by Southwest.
Thank you. I hope you do, too.
I will. I'm going to have a good time.
Good. Yeah.
And we'll cross paths and do some stuff.
Good.
Yeah,
I would love
to. If you ever
to.
Want to write a song, I'll write a song.
I'm in.
You,
let's write one.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, I got to go play.
Nah, I know. You gotta go play.
Ranch.
Not right now. I gotta go work. I got a voiceover.
You do?
Yeah, I'm doing some commercial work and stuff like that. So I'm
look at that. You do a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Where are you doing it? At Tequila?
Tequila?
Mockingbird?
No, at this guy's house. He has a little studio in his house. And
you know, it's all that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Now it's just people's houses.
It is. You can set it. Look at us right now.
Yeah.
Sitting here in your home.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. It's pretty cool.
I was listening to an album. It's a very big album. And a friend of mine plays with the artist as a touring musician. And when I was listening to it, I was like, oh, what do you do? This stuff's all like so synthy. He's like, man, you wouldn't believe it. Like, this is like a major fucking huge album. And like, it's all done in people's
houses?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, famous people.
Mm-hmm.
Not like this.
Famous people. Famous people's houses. I don't think it matters. I don't think it matters.
All right, Amy, if people want to find out about you, AmyEdwardsMusic.com.
Yes.
Is a good place.
That's a great place, and you can link through to anything you want to check out or whatever. Yeah. All my music's on there. All my music's on Spotify, so go listen.
Thank you for the CD, album, and shirt, and tacos.
You're so welcome. You're gonna like that T-shirt.
Good.
Yeah, thanks. You're so welcome. Thank you.
All right. Amy Edwards, man, fantastic conversation. I love getting to know her. That record's great. Get out there and check it out. Forward, if you got the Spotify, you can check it out on there. If you like to spin the vinyl, you can also check it out on there. Available on all mediums except maybe 8-track or cassette. The great Amy Edwards. Find out about her at amyedwardsmusic.com. While you are out there on the internet looking up Amy Edwards stuff, you can always like our Facebook page, How Did I Get Here? And of course, I encourage people, new people listening to the show, if you like the show, like that page. You'll find out who's coming up. You can subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, or you can favorite it on Stitcher, and you'll get a new show every Tuesday and every Friday. That's right. And if you want to get really involved with me, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at Johnny Gowdy, okay? Let's hear some music, more music from Amy Edwards. This is a song, Sell By, which my dear friend AJ Vallejo made the video for her. It's a great video. Get out there and check it out, Sell By. How about some more music from Amy Edwards? Hope you guys are doing great. Have a great day. Let's get down.
We do what we want.